Today's homily on racism is the second in a series of eight homilies that I will deliver on important issues facing us in the upcoming election. Every Sunday in the bulletin, you can find a copy of the previous Sunday's homily, in case you missed it. Last Sunday, I touched on the topic of abortion and pro-life, which is the bedrock belief, not only of Christians, but of any just society. Now, while pro-life is the fundamental issue, it is not the only issue. Hence, we turn today to racism, which we can see convulsing our country from sea to shining sea, making America not so beautiful. I will take most of my comments from the United States Bishop's pastoral letter on racism called Open Wide Our Hearts. It was published in November of 2018. I would like to begin with a little story of how I found a hint of racism in my own heart as a small boy. My family is from India, and my parents did an admirable job of teaching us children to adapt and acclimate to the culture and the customs of our new country. For example, we spoke English and tried to reduce our accent. We used a fork and a knife and a spoon to eat our meals instead of our hands, which is what we did in India. And I loved pizza and hamburgers instead of curry and naan, which was easy as a little boy. But sometimes I think my parents were too successful in this enculturation. How so? Well, I attended St. Teresa's Catholic School in Little Rock, and my classmates were predominantly of German descent. Our class was crammed with kids named Kordsmeyer and Gangloff, Beck and Ekman, Moix, and our pastor was even named Father Keller. But here's the funny part. I worked so hard to blend in that I basically considered myself to be a little German boy, white. No joke. This skewed self-understanding really hit home when we visited Kerala, India one year, the southern state my parents are originally from. I stared in wide-eyed amazement through the back window of the taxi at all the strange, handsome brown faces. And I said to myself, wow, these people could be related to my parents. Notice, I did not say these people could be related to me. Why did I not say that? Well, because I pictured myself as a little white German boy who attended St. Teresa's Catholic School in Little Rock. Now, naturally, my parents did not want me to look down on or denigrate our Indian heritage and our roots. Nonetheless, a small seed of racism had started to sprout in my heart, and I didn't even know it. The United States bishops observed, racism can be found in our hearts, in many cases placed there unwillingly or unknowingly by our upbringing and our culture. Obviously, my parents, my Catholic school, my friends all loved me, regardless of my race. But it took me a long time to love myself, regardless of my race. When we cannot love someone, even ourselves, because of race, that is called racism. First, let's define racism and then apply it to two groups that have suffered severely from it, namely Native Americans and African Americans. The United States bishops wrote, racism arises when, either consciously or unconsciously, a person holds that his or her own race or ethnicity is superior and therefore judges persons of other races or ethnicities as inferior and unworthy of equal regard. You know, I'm really glad they included the phrase consciously or unconsciously, because I confess I felt some unconscious racism as a child. Before zeroing in on Native Americans and African Americans, the bishops identified a broad spectrum of subjects of racist rancor. They said, many groups such as the Irish, Italians, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Poles, Jews, Chinese, Japanese can attest to having been the target of racial and ethnic prejudice in our country. Our own culturally diverse parish of Immaculate Conception, made up of a cultural tapestry of Irish, Italian, German, Hispanic, Laotian, and Vietnamese immigrants, has probably suffered our own fair share of racism. I want to address the Native American experience of racism because in Fort Smith, we live right on the border of so-called Indian territory. This past week, you may have heard that Larry Foley, a journalism professor at the University of Arkansas, released a movie called Indians, Outlaws, Marshals, and the Hanging Judge. Foley is adamant about addressing the atrocities that Native Americans suffered. But he also shows sympathy for them from Judge Parker, of all people, who said, 21 years experience has taught me the Native Americans are religiously inclined, law-abiding, authority-respecting people. But the U.S. government's policy toward Native Americans was rife with racism. The bishops wrote, these policies decimated entire communities and brought about tragic death. The results were massive, forced relocations of people, such as the forced removal of Cherokee people from the southwest to the western territories along the Trail of Tears and of the Navajo in the Long Walk. In other words, when we glance back at our storied past and our shared history as a nation, we see the embarrassing, indeed the evil, exploitation of minority groups by the power and the greed of majority groups. In a word, we see racism rear its ugly head. The bishops conclude, when one culture meets another, lack of awareness and understanding often leads to grossly distorted value judgment and prejudice. We who live in Fort Smith don't have far to travel to see the results of racism in our country. Now let me briefly touch on the black experience of racism. Of course, we can be proud of the abolition of slavery after the Civil War, of the addition of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, and of the passing of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But we still have a long way to go. The bishops write, African Americans continue to struggle against perceptions that they do not fully bear the image of God, that they embody less intelligence, beauty, and goodness. They go on. This reality represents more than a few isolated stories. It was the lived experience of a vast majority of African Americans for most of our national history. In other words, if we truly believe each person is created in the image and likeness of God, as it says in Genesis 1, verse 27, then on what basis do we discriminate because of a person's race? Do we believe that one race bears more of the image of God than another race? That attitude and assumption is simply called racism. The bishops also balanced the explosive issue of racism and interactions with police. See if you agree with their assessment. They write, "We must admit the plain truth that for many of our fellow citizens who have done nothing wrong, interactions with the police are often fraught with fear and even danger." They continue, though, by adding, "At the same time, we reject harsh rhetoric that belittles and dehumanizes law enforcement personnel who labor to keep our communities safe. We also condemn violent attacks against police." Have you heard the old cliche, "Don't let your confidence get ahead of your competence"? Ever heard that? Well, I am convinced that in the case of misuse of force by the police, as well as violent attacks on the police by protesters, our confidence in what we believe runs too far ahead of our competence, that is, our common sense. In loving and respecting our neighbor, both sides, protesters and police, need a healthy dose of humility and let their competence, their common sense, catch up with their confidence and think before acting. Well, you will be happy to know that I no longer think of myself as a little white German boy. I am happy to be related to all the beautiful brown people in India. You know, I joke that when people return from their summer vacations to the beach, they're really trying to look more like Father John. It's funny how all the white people want to look like brown people, and the brown people believe they look like white people. But maybe we should just accept each other and accept ourselves just as we are and love each other regardless of race. Praised be Jesus Christ.